We are up to the second of the 39 melachas, okay, which is Zoreya, planting. Planting includes planting seeds, planting plants, anything and anything that causes vegetable growth, okay? That includes what's it called pruning, watering, plant life is all included in this. Including you shouldn't spit on what's it called on grass or on anything that grows, because the saliva also causes things to grow. So a person, if you have to spit somewhere outside on Shabbos, don't do it on things that are growing. Do it on the pavement or whatever, or whatever. Don't do it at all. The right, I don't know. It depends on the culture. Some cultures, it's perfectly okay to spit. In fact, in certain cultures, they have spittoons in the house where people would spit into them.
Is that in shuls?
In shuls, okay. I never saw a shul with a spittoon. I never saw a house with a spittoon either. Right? It depends on the culture. And there's a shaila about urinating on grass. It implies what's it called? You're usually going on trips on Shabbos, but if you're taking your kids for a walk or whatever, and here in Israel, it is very common. Forget about kids. Right, it's also part of the culture, right? In case you haven't noticed, it's part of the culture here. Acceptable. The truth is, halacha-wise, it's pretty okay. I mean, it's api halacha. The halacha is a person should not hold himself back, and if it means even doing urinating publicly, it's not against shnius. If it means hold, it's because it's a sakana. To hold yourself back too much, and therefore it could be that, you know, all these people that you pass on the street or whatever that are...
I think it comes from being in the army.
Okay, I don't know what it comes from, but there's a lot of people who don't look like they're ever in the army have learned from the people in the army. In any case, it's something that in America I never saw in my life, right? And this is one of the things about Eretz Israel that are, you know, the air of Eretz Israel. Right. In any case, what we were saying by Shabbos, it is, there is an opinion, in fact the Gemara seems to say, that you are allowed to urinate on vegetation or whatever, because it does not induce growth, vegetative growth. It's harmful. But Lamaisa, there are many poskim who say that today nature has changed for some reason, and we see that Lamaisa, that it does, it has a positive effect on vegetation. And therefore, it's a good idea not to let your children urinate on anything that's growing on Shabbos. Okay, another thing, if you eat outside on Shabbos, you have to be very careful not to pour water on the grass, to wash your hands over the grass. And Lamaisa, therefore, it's a good idea not to eat outside on the grass on Shabbos, because it's almost impossible if you're drinking liquids, you're washing your hands or whatever, to keep and make sure that nothing falls on the grass. And if it does, you're over an isser. And if it
bottles,
I don't know. Again, to children is okay. What's it called? They should tell them not to pour the water on the grass. To pour, you know, to drink it. And you're drinking from a bottle is also. But once you're eating on a picnic table and you have liquids around and they spill, and it's better not to eat outside. If you do eat outside, it's not also to eat outside. But if you do eat outside, but be very careful not to just pour water directly on the grass. Now, there's certain situations where you have the possibility of pouring water on vegetation or on grass or whatever. You have a sukkah that has a roof. Right? It rains. So there's a collection of water on the roof. If you take off the cover, it's going to fall on the ground where things are growing. So here the halacha is, if the ground is saturated, just rain, and it's saturated with water, there's no issue of pouring more water, because it doesn't do anything. But if it's already dried out, or even partially dried out, it's not right after the rain, then you're not allowed to take the roof off if the water will go directly on the ground. If the water won't go directly on the ground, it'll go on pavement, and then only after that drain off onto the ground, not directly, and your intention is not to water the plants, then it's a groma to a psikresha, and that is okay. Okay, so in either case, if the ground is saturated already, or if it's not going directly on the ground, that's a reason why, septic tanks pipes that where the water, where you use the water in the house, and the water directly goes on the, what's it called, on the grass, right? Goes directly, you flush the toilet and the water goes directly on the grass, into the, under the ground, into a septic tank that's not contained, but goes, seeps into the, underneath the roots of the things. That would be awesome. Most septic tanks are not like that, hopefully, right, where they don't go directly into your grass, but they go into a thing, and then eventually they decompose and it siphons off, but it's totally indirect. That's okay. Same thing goes if you have pipes that go onto cement, right? If you turn on the water in the house and it goes outside, right, but it doesn't go directly on the grass, it goes on something else and then onto the grass, so grumatrix secretia, that would be okay. But if it goes directly on the grass, it's also, you're allowed to set up a sprinkler system Erev Shabbos on a time clock and let it work on Shabbos. You can turn it off, but if by turning it off or turning it partially off, you're making the pressure in some of the sprinklers greater, so a greater area is going now to be wet, that's awesome. So if you turn it off all at once, it's fine, right? Or if you have it on a time clock or a computer, that's fine. But if you can't turn on sprinklers, obviously, on Shabbos, and you can't turn them off if you're not turning them off completely, and by turning off some, it'll affect the pressure in the others and make parts that weren't being watered now being watered. Yeah.
So an animal, when you feed them, do you have to feed them on that concrete? So an animal who's got like a bowl of water, like a dog?
If you feed them, then water's not going to go on the grass, right? But if the chances are that by feeding them, you're definitely going to end up pouring water on the grass. You're going to take the thing and for sure water.
The animal,
that's not a problem. You can put the water before the animal, and the animal can do what he wants. Soak seeds that they should germinate or make bean sprouts on Shabbos. You can't take bean sprouts out of water where they were germinating on Shabbos. You can take them out before Shabbos, and even though they're moist, you can eat them, right? That's not a problem. You even dry them off. But if they're in the water where they are sprouting, you can't take them out of the water on Shabbos, you can't put them into the water on Shabbos. Same thing, you can't put potatoes in water to make them sprout, or onions like kids do, you know, for science projects or whatever. What? That's kosher. If you're not lucky, not a lot of plants, you're not allowed to harvest either. Yeah.
The bean sprouts in that I've got has layers, and none of it is, you spread the water on top, it's not actually stacked.
Yeah, that doesn't make a difference. That is the medium of growth for those things. Those water-laden layers of whatever take the place of the sand. And therefore you can't take those out. You have to take them out before Shabbos.
Okay.
From that whatever it needs to come.
Would you
allow
to set them up on Friday, knowing that
our moms
would start to sprout on Shabbos?
Yeah. Yeah, that you can do. Friday, you can plant things Friday in your garden, too. But you can't take them out on Shabbos. Okay, flowers, cut things. You're allowed to return to water that were in before Shabbos. And it's not so clear that if you prepared water but didn't put the flowers in them actually before Shabbos, that you're allowed to put them into that water. So you have to have the flowers in the water before Shabbos. If they came out, you're allowed to return them to that water on Shabbos. They're not muktzeh flowers, but you can't add water, and you can't change the water, and you can't put them into water that they weren't in before Shabbos. As long as putting them in the water will not open the flowers. But if the kind of flowers that putting them in the water will open the flowers, that you can't do on Shabbos. Because the flowers are open already. What? The flowers are open already. The kind of flowers that open because you put them into water, that's okay.
But these are only flowers for beauty.
Right. Flowers are cut flowers for beauty in a vase. A flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, and even some flower pots that don't have a hole in the bottom, I'm not going through now all the different materials, but certain material flower pots, especially where they're made out of earthenware, which are like normal flower pots, or wood, it's possible even if it doesn't have a hole, right, it's considered like it's connected to the ground, and moving those flower pots, taking them off the ground, putting them on the ground is a problem. Flower pots that are made of metal, plastic, and have no hole, and the plant doesn't overhang the pot, right? moving them around is rabbinically prohibited, and therefore you shouldn't move flower pots around in the house. Even if the floor is tiled, could be still considered like it's connected to the ground, because it still gets some kind of nurturing from the ground, and therefore flower pots that you have in your home, even inside the house, preferably should not be moved around. If you have specific shayla, you should ask about that specific flower pot. It may be, make a difference that the conditions may make a difference that you could move that flower pot specifically. But in normal circumstances, flower pots with a hole, without a hole, shouldn't be moved around in Shabbos.
It's on a table.
Yeah.
The flower pot is on the table.
Right. It's probably not a problem. Right? No, you can move. You can, if it's on the table, you probably can move the flower pot too, but you can't put it on the ground.
Yeah, but can you move the table around? If you
yes. Yes.
Table.
Yeah.
So it's not a buffet.
No. Well, it depends. It could be the whole flower pot is not mukta if it's not usher to move.
Mm-hmm.
You can move from one end of the table to the other, and it's for decoration. It could be it's not mukta.
So you're saying the flower pot is completely made of metal or plastic?
Then usually there's not a problem, right? Unless it doesn't, unless it overhangs the pot. If the leaves overhang the pot, then it's still a problem.
You have a palm tree stuck in that metal pot.
Right, but that palm tree leaves for sure overhang the pot. In other words, they go beyond the thing, so there it's not the.
Well, I thought the problem would be that the leaves don't touch the ground.
No. Even if they're exposed to the ground, it's a problem. Even being exposed to the ground is a problem, even though they don't touch the ground. Yeah, since there's nothing separating from leaves in the leaves get some nurturing from the ground, even though they don't touch the ground. There's an idea of the nurturing comes up, right, it comes up into the air, right, from the ground, molecules of whatever, water, whatever, that's to a certain degree above the ground, those things are in the air.
If it's dirt,
if
it's
like
earth,
yeah. If what's it called, the flower pot?
Yeah,
right. It could be the flower pot that's muksa, but if it's mamish, a flower pot that's made like a vase or something, could be it's not muksa. Okay. Another thing. If you have plants, you can't open a window or open a curtain to let the sun come on them, if that's your intention, to make the sun come on them so they thrive, right? You can't close the curtain either, take the sun away from them if they're getting too much sun. But if your intention is not to make the sun come in on the plants, just you have plants in the room, but you want sunlight in the room. So even though it's a psychratia, if you open the curtains, you're going to get sunlight in the room, and it's for sure going to go on these plants, but that's not your intention, and it's only a grumma, you're not lighting the sun. Right, you're just letting the sunlight in that was there, taking away a separation that separated from the sunlight. The sunlight was there to begin with. You're only doing something indirect. So since it's only indirect and it's not your intention, even though it's going to have to happen, right, it's okay to do. So you're allowed to open a curtain in the house and let the sun into the room, as long as your intention is not to let the sun come on the plants. If your intention is to let the sun come on the plants, then you can't open that curtain. But if that's not your intention, it just happens to happen, right, then that's okay. Okay.